is upon us. It's time to dig in, to stand our ground, and watch for the next attack. You're in the Foxhole with Jason Markham.
Hey, hey, welcome back to the Foxhole, where we stand our ground and watch for the enemy's next move. Today is 27th of February, 2024, and tonight I have a very special guest, which just dropped out of the studio, so hopefully she comes back. Otherwise, we don't have a show. But anyway, we're going to be talking about self-reliance, homesteading, and I have Miss Melissa Arteburn, which is the wife of Tony Arteburn, which a lot of you know. He runs Wise Wolf Gold and Silver out of Branson, Missouri, and also Denison, Texas. He's the place to go for your precious metals needs to hedge against inflation. And anyway, that's what we're going to talk about today. Hopefully Melissa comes back because she just popped out of the studio. But anyway, I wanted to do it on this show because, you know, there is an attack on us. There's an attack on our food. There's an attack on our power. You know, they want to get us out of fossil fuels and put us on green energy. They want to do all this stuff. And they're basically, they don't like anything self-reliant. And we could look at the Amos Miller case out there on the East Coast where they're shutting him down because he's selling whole milk and organic food and stuff like that across state lines using this interstate commerce stuff. But anyway, here's Melissa. She's back. So Melissa, I just introduced you. I know you fell out there. Hopefully you won't fall out again, but, you are a homesteader. You're getting into self-reliance and things like that to get out from under the government's boot heel on your neck, and kind of tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I am Melissa, and I live way out in the woods all by myself, and I live completely off-grid. I don't have any electricity other than what I can generate with a very small solar system that I've put together, and I collect rainwater, and so I just took my life probably back, you know, a century, and I'm just trying to figure it out.
Nice, and I wanted to get you on because a lot of people are going this route now. They're trying to get undependent, you know, if that makes any sense, and it's kind of hard to know where to start. So I think what we should start with is what's the difference between off-grid and homesteading? I looked it up earlier this week, and actually it's the beginning of the week, but anyway, the other day I looked it up, and there's a difference between off-grid and homesteading, right?
Well, yeah, for sure. A lot of times it goes hand in hand because mm-hmm. people just want to be completely independent. But I'm off-grid. I don't have any sort of electricity or mail service or any sort of hookups to the city water or any. I don't even live near a city or anything. So, I mean, even if I did want water out here, it would have to be a well. And so... Yeah, I don't have any hookups. Technically, I guess I would be considered homeless.
So wait, I got to jump in here real quick. Okay. You just touched on something I didn't even consider when I was putting together like the questions I would ask you tonight. Mm-hmm. No mail service. How do you vote?
first off, I don't give a shit about voting anymore because
there you
it's
go.
Just ridiculous. And I got better things to do with my time than play that game. And but then I can't participate in local votes either, which may still hold some validity. But yeah, I won't be voting.
Yeah, I think that I will vote, but I'll write something in so my vote's accounted for because I don't yes. want somebody voting for me.
Right.
You know, and actually RFK, if I got to hold my nose for somebody, it maybe if he makes the ballot, which I don't think he will. But going back to the homesteading versus off grid, because I think a lot of people are thinking about doing what you're doing, they're buying tiny homes and they're putting them out in the woods. And I looked it up, and off grid pretty much means you're kind of getting financially independent. So you're not hooked up to city water. You're not hooked up to city power. You're not hooked up to city sewer. It's basically a utility thing. But homesteading is a whole different ball game. You're talking about providing your own food, recycling things like making, you know, your own compost to fertilize your ground and stuff. Now that's a whole different ball game, is it not?
Right. Nothing at all from the city. Everything that I've got out here as far as water and my own.
Oh, we just lost Melissa again. Now, keep in mind, she told me before the interview here that they had some storm front coming in. So her signal on her phone, which is what she has, might go in and out. So I'll try to keep the airwaves flowing until she comes back in. But basically what I was talking about was I was researching today the difference between off-grid and homesteading. Off-grid is something a lot of people can do, and you could do it in town. You get your solar system set up, and oh, here she's back. Here we go.
Okay.
All right. There we go. No, you're good, Melissa. I can fill the airtime.
Okay. I'm sorry. Yeah. Sometimes broadcasting out here. And then we have maybe severe weather, maybe not. Every time I look at the weather coming through, it's different. So I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, imagine what's going to happen when Starlink puts all their network up, which they're working on now. Do you really want your life to be at the whim of an outage or a solar flare where your whole life is crushed? I mean, I just saw this the other day when that AT&T outage happened. My phone worked perfectly fine. And my wife and I are in the same carrier, right? But it bounces off an AT&T, even though we use Straight Talk, it's off an AT&T tower. Her phone was down, and it's like her life was wrecked, you know?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was crazy. Well, we had company coming in, and she wanted to find out where they were and when to expect them and what they want for dinner. And just those little luxuries, we're so ingrained with that. And I think we need to get back to kind of what you're doing. But it's not something you could dive into. It's something you got to work on, you know, like slowly build up to, I think, for most of us. How did you start with it? I guess we'll go there. What, because you're kind of into the dual class, you're off grid and homesteading, where you're providing for yourself and you're not reliant on the city for stuff. So what got you into this?
Well, I've always been just kind of a wild woman, and I love to go camping, and I have always felt like I could, there's no reason why we can't live. Like, why can't I just always be camping and just, you know, have a normal life outside of that? And I guess I'm just kind of trying to prove that, right? Like, I, you know, what can I find on Amazon that can be charged with a USB charger so that I can, you know, make my life a little bit simpler? I've been able to find a portable shower head that has just like a pump that you can dunk down into a bucket. Perfect. That's luxury for me. I just, and I've just found some rechargeable, like, under the counter lights that, that I scooped those up. I'm really excited to have those come in, and so that I'll be able to light up my cabin just based off of the electricity that I can produce out here on a really small solar scale. So, but I did really come out here, I mean, and jump right into it. We had considered moving the shop from San Antonio up to the Branson area because of this piece of property that we had around here. And when we got here, we jumped right into just getting these buildings put out here. We have two little tiny houses. They're Graceland portable buildings. I had them put out here, and then built stairs onto them, and built up the insides with insulation. And yeah, I just jumped right in. I remember the first time we stayed out here, it was so cold. It was just cold.
Yeah, I'll bet. Wow.
Yeah.
So you're married to Tony Arterburn, which is my gold and silver go-to guy, out of Branson, Missouri, and Denison, Texas. And what was that like? Was he cool with that? Was he okay with jumping in and kind of taking the polar bear plunge into the the freezing water? How did that work out?
Oh yeah, Tony's almost down. He's down for almost anything. You know, we're different.
Nice. And I do have another personal question, just a side note. I think Beans the Brave is a Tony dog. Is Charlie your dog, or is it Tony's dog as well?
No, Charlie's my girl.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's break it down real quick, because I wanted to kind of pick into or get into like how you do things. And the reason I really want to have you on is because I'm actually doing this myself. And just a quick to talk about what's going on here. I do have 45 acres north of town, which we haven't touched yet. But here we bought another place kind of just outside of town. It's in town, but it's outside the limits. You know what I'm saying? So there's no building. Mm-hmm. Nothing. It's pretty loosey goosey here in Missouri, like it is in Arkansas.
Right.
So I'm putting up a 50 by 30, like a workshop, and I'm one third of it's going to be walled off, and I'm doing an indoor garden, which I'm thinking might be a mistake, because if I don't have solar and the power goes out, how do I keep my plants alive? You know? So I got to rethink that one, maybe some skylights or something. But after talking to you, I think at the Christmas party, maybe we talked about it, or maybe after. But rainwater collection and the problems that come with that, and all those lessons that you've learned, because you did jump in and you experienced a lot of difficulties. Maybe you can help people like myself out that want to get into this kind of lifestyle where we're not reliant on the government. I really want to grow food, because man, food costs, between inflation and food costs, it's ridiculous. It kills your whole paycheck, you know, and forget about healthcare, you know? So, anyway, let's start with water, because that's what we talked about first. You said you had a rainwater collection system. Tell us a little bit about that.
Right. Well, that's one of the first things that I wanted to get set up. Like, that's really the biggest thing that I had planned for, was rainwater collection and making sure that I could be warm.
Yeah.
And so got that out of the way pretty quickly. Got gutters put up on the little portable sheds that we bought. And bought a great big 1,200 gallon tank. And for me, I'm the one that spends the most time out here. And I haven't run dry on that yet. And I did water my garden with that water for the first year that I had my garden. I've since learned how to avoid having to water my garden as much. And so I get to keep a lot more of my rainwater. And that's lasted for me. But I have about 2,000 gallons to use. I still have to perfect a filter system. So I have a gravity fed ceramic filter system, and my collected rainwater really clogs that up. Like, it slows it down to almost nothing. Like, I drink it way faster than it filters, unfortunately.
Have you thought about doing a progressive system where you have like a, you know, filter A, which takes out some of the stuff, and then filter B gets a little bit smaller stuff? Have you thought
right
about
yes
that?
Yeah. I've worked on that, and I have not perfected it yet, because okay. I've done through sand and through charcoal and through I believe cloth after that, and I've run water through that several times. And it's still clogging up my ceramic, unfortunately. So I got to work on that. I still have challenges in that department.
So talking about the water, talking about potable water, because I think we talked earlier and you said that the water was mostly used for watering plants and things like that, which doesn't necessarily need to be filtered. But if you're talking about drinking water, There's a multitude of ways to purify water. You can boil it. I don't know. Do you boil your water at all before you drink it, or you just rely on the filters to get everything out?
I am not at this time because of the problem with the ceramic filter, because I want to run everything through that first. And so right now I am filling up my drinking water. I'm bringing out here with 5 gallon jugs that I fill up in town, so I cart those back and forth.
Okay. And a good source for that, folks, and I know this from firsthand experience. I lived in places growing up, you know, we weren't born with a silver spoon in our mouth. Somebody didn't tell us where the line for the white privilege was. So we had to go to the local, it was the county lake, actually, and they had a campgrounds there. And we would save old bleach jugs or, you know, two gallon freaking milk jugs or whatever. And we would go there once a week and just load up on water. So there are free places to get potable water. And that was one of the methods I looked up when I was looking up before the show. Let me see if I can find it here. We got the rainwater collection was one. A well is another, which is an expensive endeavor, and you may not hit water where you're at. So that's a kind of a hit and miss thing. And then importing water. So that's what where you're at now is you're kind of importing the water for your drinking water, right?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's a doable thing. I mean, that is a doable thing. We lived like that for many years growing up, no running water. I mean, we did have a well, but we mostly drew the water out of the well with buckets to give to the chickens and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I think the water, I'm glad we talked on the water first, because if you talk to any space exploration guy or whatever, you know, round or flat earth, who cares? Space exists or doesn't exist. They all agree on one thing. If you go somewhere, the first thing you have to have is water.
Yeah.
Because life can't exist without water. So, I'm actually was inspired by you, Melissa. What you told me, how many square foot of a roof provides how much gallons of water? I forget. You told me this.
Oh, what is that calculation? I believe it is 1,000 square feet of roof or collection space will give you 600 gallons of water with 1 inch of rain.
That's amazing. And I'm actually talking to these guys building my building out here, because it's a 50 by 30, which is what, 1,500 square feet. It's actually a little bit smaller. They had to cut it a little short. So it's about 1,450 square feet of collection space. And I'm actually talking to them about putting me an elevated tank. Like do a separate pad behind the building.
I highly recommend that. Yes, yeah. Absolutely do that.
Yeah. I was going to put it inside where it won't freeze. And we'll talk about that in a second about freezing. But I got to look into it, because I was talking to these guys and they're actually listeners of mine now, which is kind of cool. And that's listeners great. Of David Knight. Yeah. I gave them a David Knight coin each, the two guys that are out here working on this. And it's pretty cool. I'm going to look at some, you know, scenarios. He said something about building an external small building to insulate it. He talked about insulating the actual tank. I mean, we got a couple solutions we can come up with. Tell us, what's your experience with the rainwater collection when it comes to the winter time? Because we don't get super cold down here in Missouri, like for a long time, but we do get like some negative days. Right. And
we had about a week, maybe just a day or two shy of a week of below freezing temperatures, which allowed for my tank to, I mean, I would say that it was almost like it was pretty solid feeling. I checked on it until I wasn't able to open, like the opening was frozen shut, so I wasn't able to open it. Nothing cracked. It's still holding water. Thank goodness. I just hauled in all of the water during that period.
Okay.
I just didn't want to get any of the water into the little spigots that I've installed. I have a spigot on each side so I can access my tank from whatever side I approach it from.
And you don't want that to freeze up, because it'll crack the metal.
Right. You know, yes, yeah. I didn't want any of that. So I just leave it alone. You know, when it's getting, I've been able to use my tank just fine. When it gets like below freezing overnight and is above freezing during the day, then I'm able to continue using my tank and draw water from it throughout the winter. But if it's just solid below freezing day and night, I just leave it alone.
Yeah. I talked to my mom. She was down here on Saturday, and, they live up in Iowa, and, their last house, they just built a new house, but, their last house, they had a rainwater collection system, and that's what, watered their chickens and turkeys and ducks and all that stuff. And it was kind of cool because it would go, they had two tanks kind of like connected together, I think it was. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they kind of balanced each other out, but, and then they had this long trough, with a float valve on it. So as the water would evaporate or be drank or whatever, it would like self-fill itself, you know?
Yes, I saw one of those at Tractor Supply the other day, and I thought to myself, do I want to buy that? And I'm thinking about doing that. I do have a like one of those 55-gallon food-grade tanks that and by the way, I recommend to anybody who's starting this thing out, do hillbilly shit. I mean,
yeah,
you should see my chicken coop. It is the most hillbilly thing you'll ever see. And I took like, it wasn't one that is for the big red truck that we have, but it is a truck bed cover that's red that some person gave me. And I'm using that as the roof on a chicken coop that I built. And I'm collecting rain off of that even, and it's going into the 55-gallon drum, and I'm using that to feed the chickens with. Of course, that has to be shut off during really cold weather as well. And I was able to set up the birds a, you know, an electric drinking bucket that is fed off of my main solar panels. So they were able to get water during the freezing times, but yeah, but I forgot what I was saying, but yeah, but do hillbilly stuff for definitely.
Yeah, I want to touch on the hillbilly stuff and tell you about how I grew up. So you kind of tickled my funny bone there with that. So we lived with our grandma on and off, you know, because my mom had a hard time as a single mom with two rugrats. We had to move in with her several times, and then my grandma was the kind of person that would buy like a 1960s Buick or something for like $100. And she would drive it until like, I don't know, it needed points or the fan belt broke or whatever, you know, it just wouldn't run right. So she'd park it in the field and go buy another one from out of a barn for another $100. And so she had a line of old cars, I think going all the way down to like a Model A even, you know.
Oh,
she had all these
so
old cars,
great.
But she would use that, talking about hillbilly stuff. She would use that space to put chickens in.
Yeah, I was going to say, let your chickens roost in it. Let your chickens roost in your old rusted out cars.
So I'm talking to my mom on Saturday, and I was like, hey, Mom, you know, I got a 20-foot camper, and I actually lived in the camper for several months when I moved down to Georgia when I was still active duty. And because, you know, my daughter was pregnant and she couldn't travel and the Army didn't care, so they wouldn't defer my order. So I had to, you know, spend some money, buy a camper. I moved down there, lived in it for a few months. And then when my mom, like I said, she had another house, and then they built a new house. They lived in my camper. So I took it up to Iowa. They lived in it for while they were building their house. And now it's still sitting there. So I'm like, hey, Mom, I'm going to come pick that trailer up here soon because I got this building I'm building, and they're building a pad specifically to park that trailer on. And she's like, well, I kind of want to keep it for a summer kitchen. What happened?
I can hear you.
I just, okay. I'm all my screens went off. And we got some power flickering around here too. So I'm glad we're still.
Are you getting that storm?
Not yet, but I noticed my lights flickering earlier. So I don't know what's going on. Hopefully we stay on air. It looks like we're still good. But anyway, I asked my mom, I said, hey, I'm going to come pick up that trailer. When can I come get it? And she said, I kind of want to use it for a summer kitchen. She wants to use it to do canning and stuff in.
Okay.
And I said, I swear to God, Mom, if I come up there and there's chickens roosting in my camper,
you know, you know there is.
Yeah, I'm sure there will be. But Anyway, yeah, the water thing is I think is the number one thing. And that's what I want to talk to you about. Like, how do we start? I think the water issue is going to be the first thing we should address if we want to get off grid or homestead. Hopefully can get a well up on my 45 acres. I want to see that might be expensive, but bringing it in is pretty good. And we talked about the uses of the water, garden, livestock. Now, what do you have? Actually, let's talk about food a little bit.
Okay.
Let's go to sewer, because you were talking earlier before we came on about using the restroom. That's another thing, because everybody must go. If you're out there in the middle of nowhere, and we're not talking off grid, I guess you would be talking off grid, except off grid, you can have a septic tank, you can have a lagoon. I mean, there's a lot of ways to approach it. What are you guys doing out there on your homestead?
Well, I started off just doing a compost with it, and I really disliked that. And right now I am separating the two, the number one and the number two, and I'm burning.
Yeah. Okay.
And but I think I'm going to dig an outhouse.
And I was going to say that, because, again, going back to my experience with my grandmother, there was a place we lived that did not have a bathroom inside. And we had an outhouse, but then we switched because it got really, really cold in the wintertime, and it sucks. Okay. And even in the summertime, you know, I don't like spiders, and there's always spiders in outhouses. They suck. So we actually bought this wooden chair. It looked like something you'd be electrocuted in, minus the metal hat, and it had a hole, and it had a toilet seat and everything. And you just put a porcelain bucket under there, and you pour some bleach and some things in there to kind of kill the smell, but you just kind of go in the house somewhere where you can put the thing. And when it gets full, you go dump it out, and then you burn it eventually, you know.
Yeah,
and that's what we had. And that's kind of what you're doing, something like that.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was doing at first, except then I just really didn't like it in the house with me, because this is a tiny house and space is limited, and I was really tired of giving any sort of space to that.
To the poo. So,
right. So I am working on, so what I do is I'm going to move the bathroom situation outside. That's something that I want to work on this summer. I have a couple projects in mind for this summer.
So I'll tell you this. When I was in Japan as active duty military, and by the way, you were active duty military as well, right, Melissa?
Yes. Stationed at Fort Bragg.
Okay. Oh, back at Bragg. You know, that's what everyone says, back at Bragg.
Yeah.
What is it? It's Liberty now, I think. Fort Liberty. They've gone woke and changed it.
What? Are you kidding me? I don't even want to know.
Yeah, I should not have said that. That probably just ruined your whole life right there.
That's devastating. Come on, Fort Liberty. Yeah,
I think that's what it's called, Fort Liberty. I ignored Bragg it.
Supposedly a racist now or something.
Maybe Bragg was like a Confederate general or something. I don't know. And the thing is that the people who actually care about this stuff, they don't know either. They just want to change things. So, but that's neither here nor there. What was I talking about? Oh.
Remember.
When I was back
in Japan,
so I was living high on the hog when I, you know, active duty. I had the COLA, you know, and all that stuff. The COLA is for the cost of living allowance or whatever. The BAH was really good. That's your basic allowance for housing. So as an E4, I was actually banking because I lived off post. I was making more than enough money to pay for a really, really nice apartment. As soon as I got out and I stayed there and I went on the local economy, things got pretty bad, and I wound up moving into an old wooden house with the little sliding doors. It's supposed to have the tatami mats. It's like, if you ever seen the movie The Last Samurai, like with what's his name, Tom Cruise in it. It was that, literally that kind of house, and it didn't come when it was built with a bathroom. So what they had done, and this is the way I moved in, they had built a bathroom outside of the house, and it even had a little concrete pad to shower on. And then they just enclosed it. So it was almost like a room addition. You know, they just added it on to the thing. So that might be a good solution for you if you do an outhouse like right next to your tiny home and enclose it and put a door to go in there. It'll stay warm in the wintertime.
Right.
Yeah. And that's what I had in Japan. But that's something people don't think about. You're going to go off grid, man. I mean, you're watching movies. You're watching The Walking Dead, right? I love The Walking Dead. They're out there getting it. They're finding their food and they're doing all this stuff. You never see them go to the bathroom.
No, nope, they never address going to the bathroom. They never address the Women's Monthly.
You know what? I didn't even think about that. Thank you for that.
Getting a shower.
Yep. Yeah. So, that's something that you need to address is the poo situation. And the pee situation for us guys is pretty easy. You know,
yeah, just
walk outside. Yeah. All right. What else we got? We got water. We addressed water, sewer. A septic, you know, you could probably do your own lagoon. I think that would be a good one. I know.
Yeah, lagoon might work real well for this region, for where I'm at too, because our property is mostly just very sloped on one side. But
yeah, you could easily do a lagoon. It'd be a little bit of money to kind of like make a little pond thing, but that's mm-hmm. what my wife's her cousin and her husband, they're operator owners of a truck business, you know, and they built a new house and that's what they did. They're like, we're not going to pay $7,000-$8,000 for a septic and then the money to put it in. They just did a lagoon and it works fine. You just, you know, just don't go walking over there and make sure it's not upstream of your water supply if you have a water supply.
Right.
So, okay. So electricity, you talked a little bit about solar. Let's talk about that. How much electricity do you really require? And do you have a battery backup or how does that work?
Well, I wanted to keep it really small. I do not have any refrigeration or any air conditioning. So I don't require a great big system to run things like that or a water pump. I can do a water pump manually. And so really all I try and look for is I just want to try and charge my computer and my devices so that I can work because I still kind of have a normal job. And so I just use anything I can find that's USB charge. And I have about 5 marine batteries and I'm bringing in about 400 watts and it keeps the batteries charged on a sunny day and the solar panels that I have can draw even if it's cloudy, just doesn't draw as quickly or as much. And I can run a blender, like a coffee grinder. Coffee pot is takes up too much amps, I believe. And I'm just kind of learning this nomenclature as well, so I might have watts and amps reversed. I'm not very good at
Watts
explaining
are,
things.
Watts. I actually have a background in this from my first go in the Army as a communications guy. Watts are basically it's an overall of what you can put out between amperage. And what is it? It's IER, voltage and amperage. So if your voltage is higher, your amperage is lower or vice versa, that's what makes up your watts. It's IER is the freaking thing for it. But you can definitely increase that if you were to, say, get some more batteries. And I think it's really cool you mentioned marine batteries because I was going to talk about that, especially in the cold environment. The lead acid batteries, they'll die out on you in the cold. But you get the marine batteries, especially the gel filled. And a lot of people were using those in race cars back in Japan when they do a second battery in their trunk. They would use the gel filled marine batteries. They actually hold up pretty well and you can drain them pretty low. But you can actually do an array, like let's say, you know, you have a 12 volt battery and you're running an inverter, which is converting that to one 110 to 120 AC to power your coffee maker or blender or whatever. Mm-hmm. If you pull too many amps, the voltage ain't going to support it, but you could change your system up and it would take a different inverter. And you could actually do a series of, say, five batteries and another series of five batteries and put them in parallel with each other. And you could double your voltage. And that would allow you to get a higher wattage. But you would actually have to have an inverter that could take that, what would be 24 volts, you know. And in your diesel trucks, a lot of your diesel trucks actually have a 24-volt system that uses two batteries wired in that way, you know.
Yeah.
So if you ever want to upgrade and need help with that, I can help you with that because I have a very heavy background in the electronics.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
We can talk about that. But yeah. I've found all kinds of things, like I had mentioned earlier, the lights that I found, the under-the-counter lights. I'm really excited for those. They're on the way.
I love those things, and they don't draw hardly any power. The LED, they're like an LED strip and a thing, yeah. And you can daisy chain them together so you can turn them on individually.
Right, and I can charge them with a USB charger. And
nice.
And I found a little tiny handheld vacuum I can charge with the USB charger. So I can vacuum out my windowsills, my car. It works perfect with that.
But you're not watching like you're not up all night binge watching TV or anything like that.
I don't have a TV. If I want to watch a show, I'll watch it on. I have a little iPad here, and if the internet is good to me for streaming, then I'll use my iPad. I also use the hotspot on my iPad to work on my computer out here.
And that's an important point that you make, is if you want to go off grid like you're doing, Melissa, you're going to have to make some lifestyle changes. You know, you can't have your 52-inch TV with the surround sound watching the Super Bowl, you know.
Nope.
You have to, you know, change your lifestyle a little bit. But there's freedom that comes along with that.
Yeah.
So there are some other things I want to just throw out there to people listening. When it comes to electricity, there's some other things you can do. I don't think it's very good for us here in our area, but depending on the area, they have these kind of like vertical windmill things that you can buy. I've even seen where you could 3D print the parts and build your own. That could be like something
the cylinder style.
Yeah. And they're actually better for like the birds and stuff. So they don't lop their heads off and stuff.
What is that? I think that's called a turbine.
It's a wind turbine, but I mean, they could be the ones with that look like a regular fan, or the ones that are kind of like, and I wish I would have patented that crap because I thought of that stuff when I was a kid, like how to make one that stands upright like that. But now you can buy them. They're not that expensive, but it's really not designed to power your whole system. It's designed to augment a solar system, you know, on a cloudy day. Because normally when it's cloudy, it's going to be windy. So
right.
There you go.
Man, I'll tell you, I get some wind out here right now. It has been so windy out here.
Yeah, we got it today here too. I think whatever's in your way is moving here. So, because I'm just east of you, a little northeast of you.
Yep.
There's also, let me ask you this. Do you have a generator as a backup just in case?
I do. I haven't used it in years. I don't even know if it still works. I should probably pull it out.
You need to run that thing like once a week, just for, you know, 20 minutes or something. You should. Because the gasoline, is it diesel or gasoline?
It's gasoline.
Okay. That stuff will gel up in the carburetor. I'm telling you.
I've replaced
many a motorcycle carburetor for leaving them sit all winter and not draining them. And by the way, I wanted to ask you, I saw Tony had a Harley hat on, which I'm wearing tonight, my Harley hat. Does he have a Harley?
Yes.
That's great. I mean, next time I see him, I'm going to talk to him about it. anyway, there's also a couple other things if people are wanting to, you know, wind and solar, you got a generator. Now, nobody likes a generator because what happens if you can't get the fuel? I mean, you could potentially. Yeah. Why is my screen turning off? My screen just turned off again.
I can see you okay, though.
Yeah, it's like
the camera's still on.
Well, you know how your screen goes to sleep if you don't move your mouse for a while?
Mm-hmm,
that's what it's doing right now. It's never done that before while I'm broadcasting. Well, usually I'm clicking a bunch of buttons tonight is pretty easy, you know. But there's another option if you don't have a generator that you can run biodiesel on or ethanol, something you can create yourself. Have you ever heard of a gasifier?
A gasifier? No.
Yes. It's amazing. I first saw it on a show. It was like a survivalist show. I don't know how long it ran for, but I saw like the first three or four episodes of it. And it's where they took a group of people that each had like a specific knowledge base. Like you had a doctor, you had a physicist, you had, you know, just nerdy people. And then you threw them into a situation. I think it was a portion of a city. Maybe it was Gary, Indiana, where there's nothing left anymore, you know, but they threw them in there and then they gave them nothing and they had to survive. And occasionally they'd like raid them with some actors that would raid them and steal their crap. And they came up with this thing. They wanted to get hot water and power. They found a generator. And what they did was you take a container within a container. And you put wood, it's kind of the same way they make charcoal, homemade charcoal. Mm-hmm. You put this wood inside a container that's sealed, but it has like one outlet, you know, where as you're making the charcoal, the vapors can escape. And then you burn around it. So you're getting this wood really, really hot, but it can't catch on fire because there's no oxygen. And that fumes that come off, they fed it into a generator, and you can actually run a generator off that. It's called a gasifier. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty amazing. Yeah. Now, I mean, I don't know if you got to special tune the carburetor for that or what, but basically it's like the wood wants to catch fire, but it can't catch fire because there's no oxygen. So as soon as you put it into a combustion chamber and add oxygen, it just ignites, you know?
Okay.
Pretty neat. But that's something I'm actually going to look into, how to make my own gas, because I have a 45 acres of wooded property. I got plenty of wood. If I ever needed to,
I'll never run out of wood out here.
Yeah. How much property do you have actually?
33 acres.
Nice. That's a good chunk of land right there.
Yeah. We started off with 20 and then we were able to add 13 on later on. Something
nice.
Right next to us.
Now, I don't know exactly where you are. I know you're down in Arkansas, just over the border. I looked at property down there because I used to live in Bull Shoals Lake area.
Okay.
Yeah, you know where Kizzy Mills is?
I think so.
Yeah, it's actually not. It's just outside of Forsyth. That's where I went to school, was Forsyth.
Okay, and I was going to say.
Yeah, it's close to Rockaway Beach and all that stuff. But I lived down there and I loved Bull Shoals Lake. We fished every single day. It was great. So I was looking at property around that area. Ridiculously expensive. So then I looked down into Arkansas because I want something right on the lake. I can't afford it, you know, so I don't know how you managed to get two chunks of property right next to each other, kind of in that general vicinity.
We are nowhere near a lake. We're about a 40-minute drive to either one of those two lakes up there.
Oh, okay. So you're further out than I thought. But by the way, Tony talks, I thought you were just like right across the border.
No, we're down. We're down between Omaha and Harrison.
Okay, I know where that's at. Nice. All right, well, let's get on to the next thing because, man, we are really eating the time up here, aren't we? Talking about poo, you know. Let's talk about the food. So, we talked about energy. We talked about water. We talked about the poo situation. Something that's really important is food. And actually, this is kind of the whole reason I want a homestead. It's because I don't trust the food that's in the store anymore. And,
no.
You know, I think I'm kind of making a mistake by doing an indoor growing thing, but I don't like the chemtrail crap that's coming down. So I don't know what's on my food, what's getting, you know, drifted onto my food. Plus you have bugs to worry about, you know, insects and critters. Okay. So I thought I would do indoor growing, which might be a problem because if I don't have power, I can't power the grow lights, which are going to be pretty strenuous on power.
Unless you can get yourself like a clear roof,
you know,
more of a greenhouse situation, but then you're going to have heat that you got to deal with in the summertime. It'll be too hot to grow.
Yeah. And I talked about that with my contractor that's building my building out here. We looked at the clear panels and they degrade really fast. They get hazy and then hail punches right through them. So I'm going to go with the grow lights for now. And then maybe if I need to in the future, I'll install like some, skylights, a bunch of skylights up there that are actually made to deal with the hail and stuff, and then windows. That'll be an added expense, but you know, as long as I have power, you know, city power, I'm going to try the indoor grow lights. And Angry Tiger, shout out to Franco for doing the show on Saturday, by the way. He did a phenomenal job on Knights of the Storm. And
hey,
he does,
Angry Tiger.
Yeah. And he always rocks it when he does his, what is the one he does on Sundays? Not Sundays, the Tiger Tales on Saturdays.
Right.
Yeah, that is a fun show. You need to check it out. You need to check it out. It's, what is it? 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern on Free World right here live. And he does requests, song requests and everything. But anyway, I'm getting out. I'm getting off topic here. So food, let me ask you, you know, as a newbie, where did you start with the food situation, or do you even grow your own food?
Well, the first summer, it just really took me a long time to figure out exactly where I wanted to put my garden. And the first summer that I grew a garden, it was my second summer here. I spent the entire winter like burning down the grass that was in the area already. And I actually brought in dirt because it is just very rocky where
I'm at. They say the only thing we could grow here in Missouri, which we're almost neighbors, you're down in Arkansas, the only thing you grow is rocks. That's about the truth.
So I brought in a bunch of topsoil and some compost and mixed it all together. Not any resources that I could find for organic of that. And even if I could, it would have been outside of my price range to bring in organic dirt, but soil. But I made it work, and I grew tomatoes and zucchini and you know, just your standard garden stuff the first year. And
well, that's what I wanted to ask you, whether you're growing indoors or outdoors. And I go to the what's the website? It's slipping my brain right now. The Organic Prepper. That's a really good website, and they have articles on how to grow stuff indoors. And they had one on growing tomatoes indoors, growing mushrooms indoors, things like that. But what I was looking at was what is easy to grow. And I've heard before, if you try to go too big, too fast, you fail. So like, what do you think is the easiest thing that you're going to be successful at and actually get something from for a starting point?
Well, I am now I'm working on just to make my planting easier. I am growing things. I'm going to be planting a whole lot of things that will come back. So I'm looking at berries. So I've got 20. Now I can't remember what the name of the plant is. I think it's I've got 20 berry bushes coming. I'm going to use them to make a hedgerow. But I can't remember what I bought.
It's I'll one tell of those you
situations
what.
Where you buy something and then they mail it to you like 6 months later. Now I've already forgotten what it was I bought.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do. And I talked to my mom about this on Saturday. My 45 acres, I went and walked the property about a year and a half ago. And it is just overrun with wild blackberries. And I'm talking blackberries the size of your thumb. And I told my mom, I said, I'm going to have to put a road through there to get up on the backside of the property where I want to eventually build a house. And it's going to tear out all those berries are going to get tore out. So I asked her if I should pull some up, and we actually looked it up online to find out when is the right time of year to transplant them and stuff. When I transplant those, I'm going to bring some down to Wise Wolf and drop up for you.
Sure. I've got them around here too. I've got a patch here and there, and then I've got some that I'm looking to, allow to grow up that's in the meadow behind our house. So I'm gonna allow some of that area to grow up. I've also just I have a bunch of wild grapes around here, and
oh, nice.
I'm gonna train some of those, and they are so delicious too. And they have seeds in them, and grape seeds are so good for you. And I just will stand and eat them right at the vine. But I'm going to train a couple of those onto regular trellis, and that means I'm going to pull them out of the trees and get them trained onto trellis. And that's the plan that I have for my garden this year. And I've got a bunch of blackberries and raspberries planted. And then I also have passion fruit here that grows wild.
Really?
Yes,
Wow.
I
How
couldn't believe
exotic.
it.
You got passion fruit and a meadow. You're like rich over there.
I have also wild lettuce grows naturally out here.
Wow.
I've gotten mullein out here. That's also wonderful. That can help you with your fishing needs, catch some fish if everything should go, and hit the fan and you don't care about laws anymore. Because right now, if we live in a civilized country, it's illegal to use mullein to fish with.
You know what? You talked about the shit hit the fan situation, right? I was actually talking to my mom about this as well, because we have grown in our yard, the people who had this house before us, they had planted mint and is it nettle weed or nettle bush or something like that. They're two herbs. Yeah, and I looked up what I could definitely see they planted it in a specific area for a specific reason. So I looked it up, and there's a lot of medical uses. And in that, crap hit the fan situation, we may not have pharmacies, so it might be worth thinking about what you need to plant if you're on, like, say, blood pressure medicine or something like that. And I bought this book here from Dr. LaGuardia, which I've interviewed a few times. It's the Doomsday Book of Medicine, and he has a couple books. This one was the one he suggested, if I could only buy one, to buy this one. And it breaks down every kind of medical condition and like alternative, like natural treatments for it. So if you're homesteading, you might want to think about getting some kind of knowledge on what herbs you might want to grow. And keep in mind, a lot of herbs grow like weeds. They're not hard to grow,
Right, I mean they're everywhere. First one I noticed was, and I actually, and Beans the Brave helped me notice this one because I would see her little tiny mouth. She'd be walking around the yard eating this, and I was like, "What is it that she's eating?" And so I went and checked it out, and it's called cleavers, and it comes in this early spring. It's one of the first things to start coming out of the ground. And it's really good for you as like a detox and a spring tonic. And the leaves are kind of sticky, they kind of stick to your skin, and but they taste good. I eat them just right off the ground, whatever.
That's
Beans
awesome.
and I.
Yeah.
And
Speaking of beans, oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to take a quick break so I can get up and go use the little boys' room real quick. I'm going to run Tony's commercial that we made for him. Is that cool? Take like a
Yeah,
1 or 2 minute
sure.
break. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back. Where is it? I lost it. There it
You work hard for your money. The Federal Reserve could care less about that. It's endless printing of fiat dollars to support war, welfare, and ever-expanding government. Your hard-earned money becomes worth less every day. You need a way to hedge against runaway inflation. Saving accounts pay almost no interest, and the stock market is a roller coaster ride of uncertainty. Don't let your savings or retirement be diminished by reckless speculators, bad fiscal policy, and endless printing of fiat dollars. Call Tony Arterburn at Wise Wolf or visit wisewolfgoldandsilver.com for a real wealth storage vessel. Wolfpack is a monthly savings program that ships physical gold and silver to your door. It's a buyer's club that uses the strength of numbers to get bulk pricing. Tony passes the savings on to you. Tony can roll over an IRA or a 401k into a precious metals-backed IRA. He can also help with Bitcoin, if that's what you're into. Stop being robbed by the Fed and visit wisewolfgoldandsilver.com to secure your hard work in something that truly holds value. Wise Wolf Gold and Silver Exchange.
There we go. That was Wise Wolf Gold and Silver Exchange. Join the Wolf Pack, folks. And I'm glad that was long enough for me to run to the bathroom real quick.
That was perfect.
Yep. So anyway, yeah, there's a lot of good stuff out there. I've actually seen channels where they tell you, like, there's people that talk about wild edibles. They don't so much go into like what they're good for, but, you know, stuff that you can eat. And I don't know. I just think if crap hits the fan, if we don't have this knowledge up front or a little experience with it, we're going to be kind of hurting. People could literally starve to death when there's food there to eat, you know,
right in front of their faces and they don't even know it.
Yeah. All right. Let's get into this. Well, OK, more on food. You know, I have an outline here and I'm not even going by it. How it always works. What about you talked about fishing. That's great. I got a place here. I got lots of places here I can fish. And that's always an option. I actually know how to make crawdad traps and minnow traps and things like that.
Cool.
And I love crawdad. My wife can't stand them, but I love them. I mean, she loves shrimp and she loves lobster. I'm like, what's the difference, man? It's like freshwater shrimp, you know. Anyway, hunting. What about hunting? Do you do any of that?
I was gonna have one of my neighbors help me process a deer.
Okay.
This year, but the plans fell through. We didn't get to do it. Hopefully next year I'll be able to take my and process my first deer.
Now, is this one you're going to shoot yourself and you'll go out and do, you know, sit up in the tree stand or whatever?
That's my intention.
Okay, cool.
I feel strongly that there is an energy exchange, you know, when you, take an animal and, so I want to be able to, you know, harvest my own deer. And like I said before, I don't have refrigeration, so I will be making an attempt to either salt cure or like dry the meat.
That was actually the next topic. You're kind of on it already. And that's the thing that so, you know, I have a lot of gun, as you can see behind me. That's only about a quarter of the collection. I got a lot of guns of different calibers for different reasons, you know. I am a gun nut, but it's not because I own a lot of guns. I'm just a gun nut. But I got a lot of 22 ammunition because I'm kind of worried about if stuff does hit the fan, how do you preserve the meat? So you take a small animal, something that won't go to waste, like a squirrel or a rabbit. You can eat it that day, but then that leaves a gap of like, what if I don't get something tomorrow, you know? Right. And so we talk about hunting big game. You have to think about preserving that. And then the same thing with your vegetables, you know, I'm going to try to do indoor gardening. We'll see if that works. If it doesn't, I'm going to be limited to a season. How do I keep that for like the winter time when nothing's growing? So what's your plans on this as far as you already kind of hinted on a little bit with salting the meat and stuff, but preserving vegetables, fruits, you know, stuff like that.
Well, I'm going to do the same thing. Sun drying stuff. I've got lots of strawberries, things that are going to come back. You can sun dry peppers and tomatoes. I also have a dehydrator. I haven't really tried to run it on my solar system yet. It's a little small dehydrator, so it won't work on large scale stuff. But
that was one of the things I looked up was dehydrating. And then, it's a little bit, and I would imagine this is probably power intensive as well, but freeze drying stuff and then vacuum sealing it. You can keep that stuff for like 20 years, you know? And have you ever had a freeze dried ice cream sandwich?
My parents amazing. Took me to the Smithsonian when I was a kid and I got some of that space food and I've tried it.
Yeah. So, well, you know, the reason I want to talk about this is because people need to understand if they want to, you know, if stuff hits the fan, you can't just start homesteading overnight. These are things you got to have experience with. Salting meat, you know, you can argue if, okay, I got high blood pressure, should I be eating salted meat? But you're talking about sun drying stuff. I think that we did as primitive people with fish. You know, we primarily ate a lot of fish and they would just hang it up and let it sit in the sun. How long does stuff keep for anyway?
I'm not really sure. I think you can probably keep the dried meat for, or at least salt cured meat, quite a long time. I mean,
well, think about it. You know, I played Oregon Trail back in the Windows 95 days, and I always died of either dysentery or a snake bite. Yeah, I never made it to Oregon. You know what I'm talking about? The game on the computer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I never made it there. It was always either diarrhea or a snake bite because I'm a loser.
I never even tried to play because it was no win.
Yeah. Well, you know, you can still download it. They actually have a phone version. It's kind of popular, actually.
Oh, but
but when you think about it, these families went out with nothing but what fit in one wagon, probably two changes of clothes at most, and they were able to survive the trip and get there and then get homesteaded up. No power, no water. They had to dig their own well, stuff like that. So it's doable, but we've kind of lost the knowledge, haven't we? We're kind of spoiled.
Yeah, we're a little bit spoiled.
Yeah. Well, when people don't know what gender they are, you know, I think they're, yeah, their mind ain't in the right place. So, but anyway, I've kept you over an hour. I know you gave me, you're the one that sets the schedule on Free World. So I have an hour and a half. But we'll get ready to wrap it up. So yeah, canning is something that my family grew up with. We did that. Now we never got into like meat, like keeping meat, but as far as vegetables, jellies, jams, pickles are freaking awesome. Love pickles. You know, and then, you know, you start thinking about, you want to preserve, you know, people didn't preserve and make pickles because they like pickles. They preserved it because they needed to like have the cucumber 6 months from now, you know? Right. And if you're going to do that, you got to start thinking about, okay, you need the dill and the other things that go along with that, that make up that recipe, and then get the equipment as well, you know? So I don't know. It just amazes me how much I've forgotten from when I was a kid. But I guess we'll go here. What are the most challenges you faced? I know we talked about your water thing freezing over before, but what are the biggest challenges you faced that if you were to tell someone who's starting out, you know, what to avoid, I guess?
Well, if you're in a place where you need to have heat in the wintertime and you choose wood heat because that's what everybody does when they go off grid. Yeah. I bought a Now, you know, mind you, I live in a Graceland portable building, which is a shed. And it's just like about 30 feet long and 12 feet wide. And so I put a dwarf stove inside
For context, that's about the midway between the size of a 20-foot and 40-foot shipping container.
Yeah.
Basically. Yeah. Okay. Just want people to visualize that, how, the size of that. Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And I went with a dwarf stove inside my cabin. And really, that thing cooks me out of here. I can open up my, I can open up my windows and when it's 30 degrees outside and be warm sleeping inside. The problem with the dwarf stove is if you're not ready to be cutting your own wood, then good luck explaining to the people who are you're buying your ricks from that you need the wood to be smaller than 12 inches long, because a rick is 4 feet by 4 feet by 18 inches. And you get, I mean, not 18. Well, yeah, it's 18 inches.
No, that's an excellent point, Melissa. You know, like I was saying, if you're going to, you know, pickle your own stuff or jar your own stuff, you might want to think about what to grow that needs to be used in that process. If you're going to be burning wood, you might want to think about what tools you need to own, and hand tools at that, you know, and not like a gas operated log splitter. But, you know, I've got an axe that I split wood with when we had a fireplace, but then I had to go get a maul because sometimes your axe gets stuck, right? So you got to smack it with the maul on the back. That's some things to think about. So it's a really good point on the wood, you know, what you need to operate the equipment you have, you might need some additional tools, you know? Yep.
I've had, spent a fortune on buying tools. I have a very impressive tool set now. And of course, everything, I have, my DeWalt rechargeable batteries, which I'm able to recharge off of my solar panels just fine. So nice. I built everything that I have out here with my DeWalt rechargeables. But yes, I also have a Farm Boss, great big giant chainsaw. And so I am still working through some wood that I had to have delivered because I'm not quite ready to be. I have a few trees that have been brought down. I had some neighbors help me bring down some larger trees. And it was even hard to get my neighbor. I was like, you can't cut it longer than 12 inches. It needs to be shorter than 12 inches so it'll fit inside my stove, because otherwise then I'll have to come through with my Farm Boss and cut it up again.
Yeah, cutting it smaller along the grain is easy. Cutting it against the grain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's been a big challenge. It's just kind of silly, you know. It's like, there's so much more I could be doing with my time, but I do spend a significant amount of time reducing the size of the wood deliveries that I've had to have. But good news is that, you know, if I put a big, if normal size stove in here, I could probably would have burned the place down.
Yeah. And I appreciate that. I appreciate that because, like I said, my 50 by 30, that's going up, I'm walling off one third of it. And that's going to be my, where I grow food indoors. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at stoves right now, and I was looking at one of these kind of a two burner, it's kind of a pot belly slash cooking range. They still make them brand new. You can get it for like $350. I mean, they're not that damn expensive. I mean, some of them are, but you can get them cheap. And I'm trying to think of what scale to go with. I don't want it to be blazing hot in there. And you know, I was also talking to some people about, you know, if I want to heat the actual workshop portion. So the other two thirds is going to be for me to do woodworking or welding or whatever I want to do. I thought about running the ducting across the building so that it would radiate heat in the rest of the building, you know, outside of that one third that's walled off. And people are like, no, you don't want to do that because you're going to get the creosote stuck in the pipe and it can catch fire. So, I mean, that's a lot of things that people don't know. And me looking seriously into this, I'm realizing I don't know shit, you know, that's why I'm talking to you, to pick your brain and find out what works and what don't work.
I'll be honest. I don't know shit either. And, and then I go to the internet to look at what other people's experiences are and find out my experience has been completely different than theirs. And it's hard not to judge yourself and be like, what am I doing wrong?
And that's the thing is right now we take it for granted that we have that information at our fingertips, but what happens when that goes away and we're like, oh crap, I got to start homesteading tomorrow or today. And there is no information. There's no tutorials. I think there's nothing, there is no replacement for hands-on experience, and it's going to vary from region to region, you know? You know, I think that's why I really wanted to do this episode is number one, so I can learn and pick your brain, but also others can think about, you know, if you really think the end of the world is coming or you think CBDC is coming and you have to get out of the system, you got to start thinking about that stuff now and coming up with a contingency plan and getting some practice and some skills, get to know your neighbors, get a co-op going on. That's what I'm kind of trying to work on here, you know? Anyway, I went off on a tangent there, didn't I?
That's okay. It's just been quite an experience, you know. I just want to I'm out to prove a point that you can live a different type of life and still be a normal person, You know, I spend a lot of time out here at the homestead, but I have it set up so that I can work to the best of my ability. And, you know, I go into to town and I work. Tony and I also own a gym. That's what I take care of most. And so I go in and work at the gym and work with my employee that I have at the gym. And, I can still live an alternative life. I have a lot of friends here that are like, I just can't believe it. How do you do that? And I'm like, but this just really comes kind of natural to me. I just want to live this way. I want to make this connection with the earth. Life is not, it's not what we have been. Like, we've just been fed all these comforts, and I don't believe that life is supposed to be so comfortable.
I can kind of second that. When I went out to Georgia before I deployed out to Kuwait, I had to go there, and you know, like I said, my daughter couldn't travel. She was pregnant. She was eight and a half months pregnant or something, and she couldn't travel because they said basically if she had the baby, you know, mid travel, it was on us. TRICARE wouldn't cover it, so. They stayed behind in our Colorado home, and I just went out. I bought a camper and went out and stayed at the campgrounds on base there. And I'm telling you, that was a very rewarding time for me. For 2.5-3 months, I stayed out there. The quietness, the noise was gone. You know, I would come back, and they were kind of really easy on me. It actually turns out, they wanted to ship me out as soon as I hit ground. They wanted to ship me out because the unit was already gone as the late deployer. But it turns out that the rear D commander was a lieutenant that I worked with in Fort Drum. So he's like, oh, you got to take care of your family. You stay here as long as you need. We'll send you when you're done. So I got to spend a few months kind of getting things set up and getting our house set up there. So hats off to that guy. Anyway, it was really nice to come home, you know, at noon, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, you know, after the basics were done, and they're like, go, you know, go take care of whatever you got to take care of. And it was quiet. We had about 20 or so people that kind of stayed there kind of on the regular. Some people were homeschooling their kids. They're going out catching grasshoppers and they're doing like education out in the woods. There's something that we lose when we get into this suburban life. Or inner city life even. And I don't know, it's nice when the quiet comes and you can actually live life, enjoy life, you know?
Yeah.
And I kind of miss that. I want to kind of go back to that. You know,
I love having this connection with earth. I've changed as a person. My outlook on life has changed. I feel like I like to call it being especially when it comes to eating the food that I grow out here, or even better yet, even eating the food that grows already out here, I call it eating close to God, because it's just nice. As close as you can get. And it's the further away you get from growing your own food or foraging your own food, the further away you get from eating from God. You know what I mean? So if you're going to the store and you're eating something out of a box or a TV dinner or something like that, that's like the furthest thing away from God.
Bill Gates does not like you. He does not like you. You must eat GMO. And Schwab says eat the bugs. Hey, let me run Tiger's commercial real quick, because I keep telling myself I'm going to run these commercials. And then I got one last question for you and we'll get up out of here. How's that sound?
Sounds good.
All right. Here's Tiger. Tiger's Den. We love Tiger.
Are you ready? Financial news.
So you see, you would figure with some of this calamity going on, the markets would be devastated. I wonder why they're not. Do you think the banks are the only place that the central banks are injecting liquidity and money into?
Geopolitics.
I mean, this is after the Cold War, after the USSR fell, and bang, now we got this Ukraine thing. Same thing with this. There's something going on in Taiwan. We're going to stick our noses where they don't belong in Taiwan if they have some kind of problem with China. They're building up to this.
Religion.
I think what we have found out is that man taints the religion, that governments and people in power who are looking for power taint the religion.
Addiction special.
I wanted to talk about, and I know we've touched on this before, we touched on nicotine last time. I want to touch on the cell phones.
Epic rants.
We are clowns. They are, the world laughs at us. We are morons. It's so infantile. That is infantile. There is zero dignity left.
Catch the Angry Tiger's Den Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on YouTube, Rumble, and Twitter. Also, tune in Sundays at 8 p.m. Eastern for the Tiger and Snake Financial Report. See you there.
Yes, we love the tiger. He is so much fun.
That's really cool. I heard Angry Tiger on America Unplugged, and I'm telling you, he said, this is something that just really steams my tail.
Yeah, yes.
And so this guy quotes Bugs Bunny and then goes on an epic rant. And I was just like, what?
Yeah, we do little shorts of his rants because they're so epic. It's great. And they make sense.
I loved it.
All right. Well, we're actually, I kept you way over an hour. I got one last question for you, Melissa, and I love having you on. I think this is going to be one of the most wildly popular episodes because people are looking into what you're doing. They just don't know how to start. So you're giving us some kind of insight, inside baseball on what to expect. So thank you for that. I guess the last question is, what do you have planned in the future? Like, where do you see this going?
Well, I would love just for my experiences to be able to help people start their own thing. Just learn how to do this. Learn how to take care of some livestock animals. If you're in the city and you can't have chickens, learn how to keep pigeons. You know, get yourself a pigeon coop. They'll come back. And I just hope that that things don't happen the way that it seems like things might go down. So simultaneously, alongside of learning how to take the blow when it comes, I'm also learning to heal myself. And I think that that's very key to stopping the freight train of madness that is coming from our direction, because the more that we heal ourselves, the more that we love ourselves, and the more we'll be willing to stand up and just say, no, I'm not doing that. And I don't care if you kill my body, I'll still live on. And you know, people will be more brave to stand up for themselves than we have been in the past. And so I think that goes along simultaneously with everything else that's going on, learning how to be able to handle whatever happens economically, as well as thrive in some sort of bizarro world, whatever's coming our way.
Yep. Oh, I just lost Melissa. There she is. Let me bring her back in.
How much did I miss?
No, you're just out for a second. Let me caveat on that, because we're both military. And so is Tony, and so is a lot of listeners actually are military. Look, you never did a 12-mile ruck march until you did. Okay. And you probably didn't think your body could do it when you did it. But because of the training up to it, you were able to do it. Even though you'd never done 12 miles before, you were able to do the 12 miles because you did the 3 miles, the 6 miles, the, you know. I think that's the kind of the point with the homesteading. And then also, I don't think, and this is the way I'm looking at it, right? I'm not looking at it like, oh, the end of the world is coming in 6 months. I'm looking at it like food inflation, right? You know, I got money in the bank that's being degraded every single day. They print a dollar. If I have $100,000 in the bank, it's worth $99,000 now and then $98,000 tomorrow, you know, but I can build a building out here. I can spend, and it's going to probably roughly cost me about $60,000. This thing's getting freaking expensive real fast. but that $60,000, if I was to keep that in the bank and then try to build this building next year, it might cost me $80,000. So I think the money, and this is kind of to Tony's thing, the money should not stay in fiat. You need to put it in something that's going to hold some value. So for me, I'm putting it into my property. And because the property value will go up as the dollar crashes and burns and rolls off the cliff, you know, and it doesn't matter if it's Democrat or Republican. It just, that's just depends on how fast you're falling, you know, whether you have no umbrella or an umbrella, you know, you're falling at a little bit different rate. So, you know, I decided I'm just going to go ahead and throw my wife is on board with me with this to throw the money in there because she knows that if we ever need the money, we could sell the house and get the money back out. Right. Kind of like with precious metals. But then also looking at the growing, and this is why I made the hard commitment to grow food, is because, you know, what money I do have in the bank as it's getting deflated now buys me less food. But if I can grow my own food, now I can keep more of my own money that I can then put into something more tangible, like gold or silver or property or Bitcoin or whatever that I deem to put it into. And that was my little rant there on why I'm doing it and why I'm looking at homesteading, because homesteading can save you a ton of money if you have the discipline and the know-how and you're willing to put in the work, you know. But what's your time worth at 9 to 5? You know what I'm saying? If I got to work 8 hours to earn X amount of dollars, but I can do 4 hours of work on my homestead and get the same net product back when it comes in the form of food or whatever. I don't know. I think it's a better way to live, you know?
Yep. Closer to God.
Yeah. And that is true too. You know, more quiet, more peaceful, and it's living life. You know, it's actually living life and being with nature. I think Tiger does that. I really applaud Tiger. He goes out every morning before he does his job and then does his podcast and all that. He takes his dog Bouncer out for anywhere 6 to 10 miles and gets in touch with nature every single day. That's nice. Fucking beautiful. Oh, sorry for the it's freaking beautiful. Sorry. Army language coming out.
That's okay. It didn't even faze me. I wouldn't have even noticed if you hadn't pointed it out.
Yeah, I try to keep it family friendly, you know. Well, I think that's it, you know. I guess, is there anything you want to leave behind, tell us about? And then, of course, talk about, you know, your gym and your shop and stuff, the gold and silver store.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Well, everybody who knows you probably knows of Wise Wolf Gold and Silver Exchange, but I have my own affiliate link is melissa.gold. And so if you're interested in buying some precious metals or at least checking it out, go to melissa.gold. It's M-E-L-I-S-S-A, 1 L, 2 S's, melissa.gold. And then I have a Instagram page called Moark Wild Woman. So you can come look at my, I don't really do content or anything like that. It's just kind of like me around the homestead. And I'm not real good about posting, but that's where you can find me and see pictures of my place. Nice. And, yeah. And
now I have to go get Instagram because I don't do Instagram, but now that's a reason for me to do that.
Oh, yeah. Instagram's the only one I do. And then yes, we do have a gym in Hollister, Missouri. It's called Maxfield Gym. And I'm up there once or twice a week. We just have one of our gym members are just absolutely the best. And one of our gym members just got himself certified as a personal trainer. So I'm going to start training with him starting next week. We were going to start yesterday, but he's having car trouble now. So, I mean, not yesterday. Oh, well, it doesn't matter. We were going to start this week. And but he's got car trouble. So we'll wait till next week. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm going to be his client and help him get started and maybe make some flyers up for him. It's really neat. I'm telling you, small town living is so much better than I thought it would be. And I'm so glad. I mean, I'd never be able to own a gym if we were still in San Antonio or in some big metro like Dallas. Yep. I'd have to compete with in advertising with the likes of LA Fitness and things like that. I would never be able to make it. So we're the only gym in Hollister. So all I have to do is just be there. And we have the best members, and that has a an Instagram page too, Maxfield Gym Hollister. And nice. Yeah, so that's where I can be found.
All right. Well, hey, I want to thank you so much for coming on. I think give us a lot to think about, and hopefully when people see this, when I run this on the video on not this coming Thursday, but next Thursday. And if you're listening, please go on Tuesdays and watch it live on Free World. So you can be part of the show in the chat, freeworld.fm, please. But I will be playing this on not this coming Thursday, the next Thursday, and I will be live in the chat. Of course, if you're watching this, then you would know that right now. So, man, I'm thinking in two times right now. But anyway, thanks so much for coming on. You gave us a lot to think about. You gave me a lot to think about. I think we need to get our butts in gear and at least get some kind of skills, some kind of tools, some kind of plan in place. Because when the lights go out, the lights are going to go out fast. You know?
Yep.
Yep. All right. Well, thanks a lot. And I guess I'll get us out of here. Take care, Melissa, and God bless.
Thank you for having me.
You've been watching The Foxhole with Jason Barker.